May be seated. Father, as we have just worshiped together, singing the words, for endless days we will praise your name. And God, we want that to be the truth of our lives, the truth of our mouth, that we would sing praises to you. And God, it's just been a phenomenal time of worship. As we have gathered together as one body, Lord, I pray that as we continue to look at your word in worship and as we continue to fellowship, Lord, that we would be one body, that we would desire unity in what we have in common as you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would teach us, that you would remind us, that you would guide us, and you would convict us, all the things that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good morning. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. And just to give you a heads up, we're going to start there. We're going to focus on one verse out of that passage, and we're going to jump into Psalms. So if you want to put a finger in Psalms and get ready as we will go there as well. If you need a Bible, just slip a hand up. We've got some ushers that'll come down the aisles, and I'd love to get one in your hands. You can borrow this morning, you can keep it, or you can join us on YouVersion. I trust that as we have studied the life of Joseph over the past several weeks, you have not only learned something new about Joseph and the story of Joseph, but also that there have been some takeaways and some life applications. Today, as we close this series together, I believe there's one last thing that God wants to teach us. And so far, we have learned about being unfairly treated, or being in the pits of life, or temptation, or God's plan, or learning to wait on God. And we will conclude this series with these words: it's all good. Genesis 50, beginning with verse 15 through 21, says this: when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs that we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" And then verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for the good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. When I read these verses, particularly verse 20 that we'll focus in on for a few minutes here, I don't know about you, but deep in the catacombs of life, a verse like verse 20, it's like it shines brightly and illuminates some different seasons and things that I have faced. Is that true of you? You intended it for harm, but God intended it for good. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives, Joseph said. For Joseph, either, you know, when he said those words to his brothers, either he was minimizing everything that had happened, or he has a bad memory, or he actually believes it. It's one of those three things. And Joseph's life must have flashed before his eyes at that very moment. All of the events of the past were done and over with, and Joseph was now able to say with confidence, God knew exactly what he was doing. If you're able to take the Christian life and cut it up like a piece of pie, one of the biggest pieces of pie, and it's be foundational to the Christian journey that we cannot afford to miss, is as simple as this: God is faithful. So one of the biggest pieces of pie in this whole story is the fact that God is faithful. And I say, hang on for dear life with that truth, because you'll need it. So what can we learn from Genesis 50, 20, when Joseph said in so many ways, because of God's faithfulness, guys, it's all good. Essentially, what he was saying was, not only do I know that God is faithful, I have personally experienced God's faithfulness, and not only have I experienced it in my life, I remember his faithfulness. Those three things. Joseph was saying, only because I know it, experienced it, and remember it. That's the only way I can say it's all good. We can say, I can face the most troublesome times. I can face challenges and trials. I can press on when things don't make any sense, when I know that God is faithful and all is good. But the truth is, the events of life can at times cause us to question God's faithfulness. If you're following along in your outline, number one is know it. And I want to look at Psalm 8, 3, and 4. So Psalm 8, 3, and 4. And it says this. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you even care about them? So David is focused on the majesty of God, the greatness of God in this psalm. And he says, when I stop and I clear my mind and reflect upon the vastness of who you are, right down to the intricate work you accomplish with your fingers, my only response can be, who am I that you're mindful of me? That you would even think of me? Have I not been lost in the system, so to speak? How can it be that you, the creator of all things, would even know my name? And I want to share with you a couple passages. Psalm 19:1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Isaiah 40 echoes it, 25 and 26, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Isaiah 45, 18 says this, for this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited, he says. I am the Lord, and there is no other. To say God is not faithful is to say that he is not God. We cannot separate his character from his title. Either he is God and faithful, or he's not God and unfaithful. Lori and I have been watching a Netflix series called Gabriel Fernandez. It's about a boy who was abused in unimaginable and unthinkable ways and eventually died at the hands of his mother and his mother's boyfriend. When Gabriel was 8 years old, he slept in a locked box at the foot of his mom's bed. And I wonder if he asked the question, does anyone care? Does anyone see me? Have I been lost in the system? Sometimes we can feel that way when we lose sight of God's faithfulness. Has God forgotten me? If God's faithfulness is one of the key ingredients in helping to develop us into a person who can look at life and say with complete and honesty and truthfulness, it's all good, then we better first of all know God to be faithful. If you're not convinced that God, whom we claim to be all-powerful and all-knowing, is not always, and I mean always, 100% of the time, always, faithful towards you, then it would make sense to question life at every turn. The ability to stand and look back over your entire life and say, as Joseph did to his brothers who were there before him, you intended to harm me, but God intended everything in my past, everything that I can think of in my past, he intended it for the good. The only way he can do that is if you know God to be faithful. What if the universe's primary reason for existing is to show off God's greatness, power, majesty, splendor, and glory? I want to zoom out when I talk about God's faithfulness, and then we're going to zoom in, and it's going to become more personal. But when I'm going to zoom out for just a second, I shared this in a sermon a couple years ago. You won't remember it anyway, but I just want to share this again because it's mind-blowing. It's from God's greatness and power that his faithfulness is shown toward us. Consider God's creation for just a minute. The Milky Way is 100,000 light years across, one side to the other. In the universe are galaxies, and the galaxy that we live in is called Milky Way. This galaxy contains billions of stars. In fact, if you were to count each star in the Milky Way, one per second, it would take you 2,500 years to count them all. That's just in our galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is ginormous. It's mind-blowing. It's too great for the human mind to ponder. It isn't the Milky Way that's so incredibly amazing, though, as the psalmist is pointing out. It's the fact that it's only one galaxy among billions of other galaxies. How big is your God? How powerful is your God? How great is your God? How faithful is your God? Apparently, God wanted to make absolute sure that there would be no way to minimize just how great he is. As if the galaxy we live in isn't enough to convince us of his faithfulness, consider the sun for a second. It's this raging ball of fire, 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on its surface. The sun is 100 times the diameter of Earth. The distance between the sun and the Earth is a mere 93 million miles. Therefore, light from the sun takes about 8 minutes to arrive, traveling 186,000 miles per second. The sun is just one of billions of stars orbiting the Earth. Scientists say that it would take the gross national product for 7 million years for a local power company to run the sun for 1 second. Not only has God displayed his power, not only has God displayed his greatness, he has also demonstrated it. Think about the parting of the Red Sea when he took his children across into dry land. Or think about the universal flood when God wiped out the face of the earth and every person except Noah and his family. Think about the resurrection when he raised his own son from the grave. So first of all, when we talk about God's faithfulness in our life, we have to zoom out. We have to see the bigness of God. We have to know him to be faithful by knowing him to be all-powerful. If my view of God is small, my understanding of his faithfulness will be small. If my view of God is huge, my view of his faithfulness will also be. Secondly, we have to experience it. Psalm 100, verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5 says this. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. The Lord is good. Let's transition from God, the creator of all things, to the one who knows us intimately. After all, he knit us together, the scripture says, in our mother's womb. And the psalmist writes that the Lord is good and his faithfulness will continue for all generations. In other words, his faithfulness will become more and more obvious as we grow in our understanding of his personal involvement in our lives. For some, the topic of God's faithfulness is a non-issue because they may say, well, he has blessed me and he has blessed me. And some, while others sit and wonder how a God is supposed to be faithful could allow such things to happen in my life. There are people who will not go to church, will not hear anything about God because they believe that if God is truly faithful, then he must have forgotten about me. If God's faithfulness is associated with how well things are going in life, we've misunderstood his faithfulness. Psalm 105 says God's faithfulness can be trusted and it can be depended on. The Lord is good. Here's what that means. It means favorable or in our favor. So God is described throughout Scripture as one who is good, one who gives delight and pleasure. So we have to learn to view God as good, one who is in our favor and one who gives delight if we're going to personally experience his faithfulness in our lives. I know that's easier said than done, especially if you have or you're experiencing something in life that absolutely does not make sense or something that is really difficult you're going through. Maybe like the person who I talk to they're grieving because of a miscarriage. Or those who maybe had a spouse walk out on them. Or maybe a student or an adult, those who are bullied or looked over. Where is God's faithfulness then? Where is his goodness? Joseph had every right to ask those kind of hard questions to God. Where was God's faithfulness in my life when I was tossed into a pit or sold into slavery or thrown into prison? And yet in the end, when the mixer stopped turning, so to speak, in his life, it just slowed down and it stopped turning. Joseph was fully aware of God's faithfulness and goodness toward him that he could literally say as he looked back in his life, it's all good. Stephen Curtis Chapman recently, well not recently, it's been a few years ago now, wrote a song entitled Cinderella. Do you remember that song? And when he penned the words, he had no idea of how much of an impact one song could have. It was a Wednesday evening around 6. Some of the family was outside, including Maria, the Chapman's youngest daughter, who was the girl that he wrote about in the song, Cinderella. She was in the driveway when her 16-year-old brother pulled in and for one reason or another didn't see her and hit her and killed her. Can you imagine going through that? The song says, the clock will strike midnight and she will be gone. How can the Chapman family, as an example, stand and one day say as Joseph did, as they look back and say, it's all good. Only by God's grace and only by God's faithfulness in their life. We tend to get stuck on the difficulties in life, don't we? But what about all the times when God took an impossible situation and he made it possible? Do you remember? What about all the times when we prayed for someone and God answered? What about the times when God met our needs and ministered to our hearts? What about the times he gave us peace and strength for the day? What about all the times he intervened and protected us from a tragedy or making a wrong decision? I'm reminded of Job 5:9. It says this, he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. So much of what happens behind the scenes that we never see that could all be included in God's faithfulness. Thirdly, remember it, Psalm 143:5. The psalmist writes this, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. We can stand and say with confidence, it's all good when we know God's faithfulness is real, when we personally experience God's faithfulness, and when we remember God's faithfulness. All three are necessary if we're going to stand in confidence, even during the most difficult times. If we're standing in the midst of difficult times, in order to say what Joseph said, it's all good, we have to have all three of those things. We have to know it, experience it, and remember it. David in the psalm is looking back over his life, and he's thinking about all that God had done. And he meditated on all of God's faithfulness and all of God's goodness in his life. If, in fact, history is the best predictor of the future, then we better dwell on God's faithfulness in our lives from the past, knowing that he will be faithful in the future. You and I can stand confident as we face our future, even though it may seem fuzzy Maybe right now you're looking out, and you're looking out tomorrow and next week and next month and next year, and you're looking out. But we can stand with confidence as we face our future, even though when it looks fuzzy or it's uncertain, because we know that God is faithful and he is good to us. He's a good God. And no matter what happens, it will bring him glory. Sometimes I have a hard time remembering things. My short-term memory is great, but my long-term memory I struggle with. Does anybody else have that problem? If you can't remember anything I've said so far, that's short-term memory. If you don't know who I am, that's long-term memory. You remember the days, maybe you didn't do this, maybe it was just my family, but when mom or dad would pin the little thing on your coat when you went to school, literally pin a note to the teacher, say, make sure that Andy brings his homework home. Did anybody else do that? Anybody else have that? Nope. Thanks, Mom. Good old days. You know, yeah, when it comes to memory, like Jonas was just talking about, my best friend from college is actually going to be the speaker at the Wild Game Feed. I'll tell you, I hung out with him for years, never knew he hunted, but now he's the world champion elk caller. But I told him, I said, you know, those days a long time ago, I said, bring some pics, yearbooks, whatever. We can reminisce about those days because there's things I don't remember and there's things I don't want to remember. Maybe you're familiar with the three old ladies that were sitting around a table. One was 96, one's 94, one's 92. They're playing cards. 96-year-old got fed up, threw cards on the table, said, I'm going upstairs to take a bath. Went upstairs and put water in the bathtub, had one foot in, one foot out, and she yelled down to her sisters, can't remember if I'm getting in or out of the bathtub. And the next oldest said, I'll take care of it. Starts up the stairs, gets halfway up, yells down to her other sister, can't remember if I'm going up the stairs or down the stairs. And then the youngest says, knock on wood, I'll come up and help you both. Just let me get the door first. Sometimes forgetting can be a good thing, right? But listen, not when it comes to God's faithfulness and goodness towards me. What would it look like if you were to take some time today, this week, and you as a family were to sit around and just talk about God's faithfulness? Because that's the very thing that's going to pass the greatness of God from one generation to the next generation. And maybe you're sitting with the kids and they don't really want to listen to it, and you're just saying, hey, let me just tell a story of God's faithfulness in my life. All throughout the Old Testament, God would tell the Israelites, he told them many things, but he would say this, remember, 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 don't forget. God knows how easily we forget, and so he finds ways to remind us, but he told them over and over again. The entire New Testament is a fulfillment of God's promises and evidence of his faithfulness. Everything he said, everything that he told us has been proven to be true, right down to the detail. What would we discover if we were to take the time and think back over the years and the months and the days and even the past few hours? We would discover God's fingerprints all over the place. And I could preach a whole other message on this. This just dawned on me. How often do we say thank you? Joseph's life has been a great lesson for all of us. And I hope and I pray that you've discovered some things about Joseph personally or through circumstances of his life that God is using in your life to change you. Out of all the lessons we've learned through Joseph, the one today is foundational. It kind of sums it up. Without knowing God to be faithful and without personally experiencing God's faithfulness and without taking the time to remember God's faithfulness, if you don't know those things, know or experience or remember, here's the deal. The pit is still the pit. Potiphar's wife is still temptation. you'll still remain convinced that God has forgotten about you. You won't wait on God. You'll harbor unforgiveness. And you'll continue to live in the land of famish. The answer to anything and everything you face in this life, including, listen, all anxiousness, worry, fear, weakness, hopelessness, doubt, is God's faithfulness. Let me leave you with this one thing. Remember God's faithfulness from yesterday. Do you remember it? Celebrate God's faithfulness today and trust in God's faithfulness for tomorrow. Father, we thank you for Joseph's life, and we thank you, Lord, for all of the things that you accomplished in his life and all of the things that he had to go through and the experience, because we can step back and we can look in and watch somebody else's life. And man, there's so much we can learn. There's so much that we can apply. But it all comes to a head today in that statement when Joseph is looking at his brothers who are bowing down, pleading with him, able to say, hey, what you guys did was for to harm me, but not God. God's plan all along was for the good, to change me. God, I pray that you would open our eyes today to see the same. Give us hope. In Jesus' name, amen.